Welcome to the next episode of Wealth Strategies to Value. I am your host, Troy Shorts. And today I have a special guest here that I cannot wait for you guys to meet. First of all, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. If you're listening to this, it's January 2023. And you and I both know that we all have these awesome New Year's resolutions. And if you're a gym person, you know that your gym just got real, real crowded until about March when everybody decides that they bit off more than they can chew, right? And it'll be right back to the way it was before January, right? So I want to introduce you to a special lady. Her name is Kelly Burgess. Kelly is a licensed nutritionist. Kelly is an author. Kelly is a college professor. Kelly is a public speaker. Kelly has two bachelor's degrees. Kelly has one master's degree from guess where? My alma mater just so happens, Penn State University. We are.
We are.
And the biggest thing.
All the way.
Yes. The biggest thing I can say about Kelly is that she literally saved my life. She saved my life.
Thank you for that.
So I want to have her here to talk with you guys about how she saved my life. You may be wondering, why do I have a nutritionist on a podcast for financial literacy, right? For educating people about how wealth works. Well, through my interactions with Kelly, you know, we've had discussions about not just health, but wealth and health. I believe they go hand in hand. And if I'm helping people maximize their income and build wealth, if you're not healthy, guess what? It doesn't really matter because you won't be able to enjoy those times with your family, enjoy those times, you know, achieving those goals, those financial goals and things of that nature. So with that, I want to introduce Kelly Burgess. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, hello. It's so good to be invited on the podcast and to participate. These are topics that are so near and dear to my heart. And I love what I do. And I'm so happy that Troy is benefiting from all of this. Troy, you've put a lot of hard work in. You know, you've done a lot. You do the heavy lifting. I give you the information and you do the heavy lifting and you've done it. So kudos, congratulations, all
thank
those
you,
good
thank
things.
You. So for those so of you who do not
here.
Know, I started my journey in 2021 and I was diagnosed with high blood pressure prior to that. And COVID came, I gained a tremendous amount of weight. And my doctor looked me in the face and said, hey, Troy, if you continue on the path that you're going, the next 6 months, your visit will be in the emergency room. And I was like, what? You know, I'm an athlete. You know, I'm pretty fit, what I would think of. But unfortunately, you know, I was 223 pounds. So for those of you who never met me, I'm only 5'7", you know, so those are that doesn't quite work. I was more this way than this way. you know, I actually want to share a quick picture, if you don't mind. I'm gonna grab this picture. I'm gonna show you what I used to look like. All right, you can see what I look like now. But can you guys see that picture right there? You see me on the right hand side? My face looks like a bowling ball, right? And now it's totally different. So I want you to show, this is my son, Troy. This is my other son, Julian. And this is Troy's girlfriend, Tatiana. So these are my crew here. So we just so happened to be at a Penn State football game and this picture was taken. And this was probably when I was really at my maximum weight of 223 pounds. All right. So now you can see I don't look quite as large.
It's amazing, the big difference there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So, a lot of this, you know, has to do with, like Kelly said, hard work, but it also has to do with education. And I'm here today to inspire you, right? Not to motivate you, because motivation comes from within. Kelly's here because we want to inspire you. If you have fitness goals, if you have weight goals, guess what? We can help you because we've done it. I've done it with her help. Like I said, I want to just say like a couple of things that stuck out to me since meeting Kelly. Some things that she told me that really just stuck in my head. The number one thing she told me was, don't listen to your friends. Right? There's always a guy at the water cooler that knows some great diet, some great trick. Oh, all you need to do is right? Oh, you know, if you want, all you gotta do is She said, Troy, don't listen to your friends because they don't know what you're talking about. Right? Now I'm gonna relate that. Listen, I'm gonna relate that to my business, right? Because people always have these opinions about money. All you gotta do is right? And I say, don't listen to your friends because they don't know what they're talking about, right? It's totally a correlation, right? And the second thing that you said to me, Kelly, that I will, that just stuck in my heart was you said, eat from the earth.
Yes.
You can't go wrong if you eat from the earth. And I'm like, whoa. So I want you to kind of elaborate on what I'm, on what, you know, on what I'm saying here.
Be happy to. You know, one of the things that we talked about a lot, just to kind of like add to that background story, is that our marketplace is so full of processed foods. There are people who have named them, they call them food-like substances. And I agree with that terminology because we think of it as food because that's all we know. That's what we've been taught. And we listen to the messages, whether they're a television commercial or a social media post or someone who's writing a blog and they talk about the virtues of this product or that product or another product. And they say to us, eat this because it's got vitamins and minerals in it. But then when we really break it down and we look at it and we say, what is this thing? It doesn't look anything like where it supposedly came from.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had this discussion about eating from the earth, which means that if we know, if we've seen it on a tree or if we've seen it on a vine or if we see it as a leaf of some sort growing out of the earth or a root, we know and it's edible, then we know that it's food that's most likely good for us. I'm not saying pick a poisonous mushroom or anything like that.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying things that we know are edible. That we could, and I use this all the time, that we could grow in our backyard. That's the kind of stuff that we want to mostly eat. Even if it's from the animal kingdom, it's something that was just running and alive that we have decided that we want to turn into a meal. That's an animal that's from the earth instead of, let's say, a nugget that looks, and that nugget may have the shape of a dinosaur. What is it? It's like, are dinosaurs still ruling the earth? What? But that's what we want to talk about.
Right. Let's go back to when you very first met me. And I was taking shakes from Herbalife because you were asking me, like, what are you doing? Like, you were kind of getting some discovery on where I was. And I said, and you said, okay, well, can you go grab the canister and bring it? And let me look at it. I said, sure. So I grabbed the canister, right? And you said to me, turn it around and start reading what the ingredients say. Now, these words were like, you know, this long. And you said, stop. You said, stop. Now, do you know what that is? That is, I don't remember what you said, But you said, Troy, this stuff was manufactured in a laboratory, right?
I did.
Is that from the earth or is that from some chemicals that they put together, right?
Or was it something that started maybe at one point from the earth and then was split apart and put together in a way that Mother Nature's like, excuse me? What do you call that? You know, I don't even recognize this anymore.
Right.
So, yeah. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah. Now, mind you, people are on Herbalife. I'm sure they're getting some results, right? I'm sure. However,
And we don't want to say anything bad about Herbalife. We're not saying anything bad whatsoever.
This is my story. I'm just saying this is my story, right? Well, needless to say, I haven't taken Herbalife, but the people that I know that were on Herbalife have seen me, you know, since then, and they're like, "Oh, wow!" And I'm like, "Nah, I haven't been doing Herbalife." Sorry,
Troy. Now all of a sudden, we're going to be getting calls from Herbalife, like, "What?" No, but it is something where we really do have to start paying attention, and we don't receive this kind of education in our everyday life. You know, when is the last time any of us took had nutrition education? We just don't. I mean, who in pre-K through 12, what kind of knowledge are we getting?
I love it, Kelly. I love it. Listen. There's two things that we are never educated about: nutrition and finance, right?
Finance, you got it. Got it.
They don't even teach kids nowadays how to balance a checkbook, right? That's not even, that's basic, but.
Which is crazy.
You know, they don't ever talk to us about taxes. They don't ever talk to us about compound interest. They don't talk to us about, you know, building wealth and inflation and market risk and fees and, you know, it's just not on the agenda. Why? Because we live in a capitalist society, correct?
We do. And it's about the money.
That make those products that are keeping us obese are never going to tell us not to eat those products, correct?
Never at all. They are enjoying the spoils, you know, of their production. And that kind of food is extremely pleasure inducing, put it that way. Let's say we talk about the fact that you eat one. There are potato chip companies that have done ads from when you and I were younger. And they say, you can't, you know, I dare you to eat just one. And it was like a joke, you know, knowing that they formulated a product that we could not control how much we eat of that product.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Why is that allowed? But it is, and we live in a free society and we're allowed to make choices. But the thing about that is we need to have the education around it so that we understand how that food impacts our response to the food, how that food, you know, makes our brain override the point where we're full and we just keep eating because it just tastes so darn good. We can't stop. Mm. Where does that put us?
Wow.
And these companies, you know, do enjoy how much money they're making off of it. But where does that leave us? You know, they're filling their coffers, but we're emptying ours because next thing you know, we have health issues. And as you and I both know, and the public that's listening to this knows, poor health is expensive.
Yeah.
It's very expensive.
Yeah,
going to the doctors, paying for medications.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're kind of in bed together if you look at it, right? The food companies and the pharmaceutical companies, they're in bed together against the public because there's no revenue for a cure, right? It's
none.
The revenue is in, like, you know, putting a Band-Aid on something, right?
Exactly. Treating the symptoms, but not the problem.
There you go. That's what I meant to say.
Yep. Treating the symptoms, but not the problem. But yes, putting a Band-Aid on it is a perfect way of putting it. It's not really, you know, cleaning out the wound and healing that wound. You know, you put a Band-Aid and hope that the wound heals itself. Right. It's pretty much what we're doing. And it's sad. It's really sad. And the worst issue with it is now our kids are being affected by this. Yeah. There are news stories that are, you know, now playing because every time the beginning of the year is all about weight loss and getting healthy. Yeah. And as you opened up the show talking about the gyms being crowded and then 2 weeks later they're empty. So it's all about that.
Yeah.
But we're also starting to affect our kids. And that's where I say it becomes very sad because the kids are going to suffer and they're going to suffer a lot sooner with these issues than we did as adults.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, it's time to start doing something because, folks, as we're going to continue to talk about, we got to pay, you know, someone's got to pay for all this, and we're the ones paying for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For our own issues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I had talked to you a while ago, and I was telling you that in my practice, you know, I hear statistics that people are living longer. And, you know, my thing was like, what happens is people haven't saved enough money and they're outliving their savings because statistics are saying to me on my end, like people are living longer. So when I said that to you, what did you say?
For the last 2 years, we have actually shortened our lifespan in the United States of America. Mm. So we're now moving backwards.
Isn't that something?
We still are living longer on average, but because of our food system, because of our lifestyle, we're a lot more sedentary, meaning we're sitting on our tuchus a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We are actually shortening our lives, and that is another sad comment to make. Mm. So could you imagine? And the prediction is that our children will not live as long as us. We can outlive our children.
Wow.
That is not something that we look forward to. It's not something that we ever could imagine would, you know, a place that we would be.
Wow.
But we're here. We're here. Wow. And it just goes back to the comment of now children are suffering from adult diseases. So diabetes used to be a thing other than juvenile diabetes when you're born with some sort of genetic disorder or, you've inherited some sort of organ disorder and you develop, you know, diabetes as a child. That's not as commonplace as a type 2 diabetes, which is developed from lifestyle issues, weight and lifestyle issues. So kids are developing that. Kids are developing high blood pressure. Kids are developing high cholesterol. And in my practice, I have treated children as young as 7 years old, 6 and 7 years old, with either high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or pre-diabetes.
Wow. At six, 7 years old?
So 6 or 7 years old. Okay. And that is, you know, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
That is a huge problem. So we, it's time for us to make some changes and to do some things for ourselves because we will start, our poor health will outlive our money. That's where we are at this point. So we may be here on this earth, but if we're not prospering, we're going to outlive our ability to take care of ourselves or outspend our abilities to take care of ourselves, if we want to put it that way. So that would mean that we'd have to save a whole heck of a lot more.
You know, I was. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. We talked about there's 360 million people in our country right now in the United States, right? And I said, you know, on my end, statistics say, 90% of those people are broke. So, you know, we have Wall Street that people believe in, their 401ks that people believe in, their investments that they believe in.
Yep.
But if all those things worked, if all those things were so good, why are 90% of the people broke and only 10% of the people own 100% of the wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, share with my audience the statistics about health and being overweight and being obese. You know, how many of those 360 million people, like, where would you say they fall?
So in the United States, let's say in the United States of America, let's look at our statistics right here. We have the rate of people who are overweight is almost 70%. That means 7 out of 10 people are considered overweight. And no wonder we don't notice it anymore, because if we're looking around at our family members, if we're looking at our friends, if we're looking at our neighbors, and we're looking at 10 neighbors, and 7 out of those 10 neighbors or 7 out of those 10 friends are overweight, we all think we're okay. And then when we talk about obesity, which is taking the overweight to the next level, and the danger in that is that health really suffers as we cross over the line into obesity, almost 40% of the people in the U.S. of A. are obese, 36%. So we're really hitting up, you know, almost 40% there.
Wow.
That's a huge number.
Yeah. Yeah. It's alarming. It really is.
It's very alarming. And we don't seem to have, you know, we're not putting the mechanisms in place to halt that. Yes, we pour more money into healthcare, you know, as a government, as, you know, a people, we're pouring more money into it, but we're not pouring the effort, the money, the education into stopping the things that are feeding into the problem. Mm-hmm. We talk about everybody has to get moving and they have to do a lot of exercise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't sit around on the couch and eat bonbons all day. But the crazy part about that is that we can easily out-eat our physical activity.
Wow.
Easily, with the type of food we have and that surrounds us.
Yeah, let me speak to that just for a second. Because I had a person, now I've been back at the gym since October of 2021.
Right.
So right now it's January 2023. So when I first got to the gym, you know, I go early in the morning. So I would see the same people all the time because those were the early people, you know. So you get to see people. You say, hey, buddy. Hey, what's up, man? You know, you kind of recognize people's faces and stuff. So one day I'm in the gym and this guy comes over to me and he's like, yo, man, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, just working out. You know, he said, no. He said, you know, I've been coming here longer than you. And you didn't look like this when you came. Now you look totally different. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing? Right. So in my head, I'm thinking, you know, this is amazing because you're absolutely right. How many people do you go to the gym with for a year and a half or 2 years? And they look exactly the way they look when you first met them. But they're in the gym every day. Right. Well, what changed for me was understanding what I put in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the key. So you, like you just said, you can eat your way out of, right?
Yep.
So is it 80% of what you eat versus 10% or 20% of what you work out? Like, I don't know if that even matters. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to put like a hardcore number to it, but most of it is about what we put in our bodies every single day, what we put in our mouth and what, you know, what we swallow and take into our bodies. Let's think about this. If let's say, you know, we have a cheat day, because we talk about that a lot, you know, in daily counseling, you know, there's always the cheat day. And a cheat day can consist of, you know, three meals, you know, that we decided to just kind of go buck wild on. It could be just one meal, but that could be one never-ending meal, or even one meal where we say, oh, that wasn't too bad. It's very reasonable. But think about what it may consist of. You go to your favorite restaurant, you order, you know, or you order some takeout. It could be some kind of Asian dish, you know, that's like a stir fry. It could be like pizza. It could be, you know, Mexican, you know, burritos or something like that. But the portion sizes are ginormous, number one. Mm-hmm. The components in the food are really rich in terms of calories and fattiness and, you know,
sodium,
sugary and salt, you know, so they're just loaded. I mean, loaded to the gills with all kinds of goodies in there.
Yeah.
So we have that to contend with. And then because this food has an influence on our brain and just says, I'm going to turn off your I'm full button. I'm just going to click it off and you're just going to have this meal. And then you're going to say, gosh, that was so good. I just want to have an extra piece of this, or I'm going to eat dessert along with it. Right. You could easily consume, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 calories in one meal.
All right. This brings me to a story. I don't know if you remember this story.
Yeah.
But you asked me, what did I eat today or yesterday or something, right? And I said, well, I was with my son and we were going somewhere and he said, Dad, let's go to Chipotle. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm thinking I got to eat right. So I'm going to Chipotle. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm getting the grilled chicken. Yeah, that's good, right? And then I'm thinking, I'll get the brown rice, right? That's good, right? I said, I'll get the vegetables and put that in there. I'll get the beans with the protein, right? I'll put that in there. I'll get the lettuce, right? The lettuce, that's good for you, right? So I wrap it all up, right? And you were like, whoa. You said, hold a minute, Troy. You went on your computer. Boo, 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 boo. I'm going to pull up Chipotle, and you're going to say, duh, duh, duh. She said, well, Troy, what you don't understand is you had more sodium in one meal than you should have in a whole day from one burrito. She said, listen, you had like 900 calories, right? 900 calories. And it was like 2,000 grams of sodium.
Yep.
In one one lunch. And I was
and you haven't even accounted for the rest of the day.
I'm doing something good. Like, I went to McDonald's and got a Big Mac, but I'm like, nah, that's too fattening. I should go to Chipotle where they got all the good stuff that's healthy. It's fresh, right? It's the, what?
It's that, you know, and the fast food places, this is how they market, you know, that's the business side of food. Presenting an image of their food being a certain way when in reality, after we look at the statistics, it's totally different. You look at the data and the data doesn't lie.
Who takes the time to go on the computer to look up Chipotle and look up, you know, their whatever this is, whatever that is, and you had it on the computer. You were like, look, this is that, this is that.
But nobody takes the time because nobody knows to take the time. For the most part, it's part of education or the time. So, you know, you're living your life and you're busy, right? Yes. And I understand that. You've got all kinds of responsibilities. You have all kinds of things tugging and pulling at you, different directions. You got to go to work. You have to earn a paycheck. You have to, you know, have obligations with your kids. You may have obligations with your parents or an elder that's in the home. There's a lot going on. You have pets, you know, you have neighbors, you have functions, you have sports, you know, you've got a whole bunch of things going on. And you're like, ah, the heck with it. I'm just hungry and the kids are hungry or this one's hungry. Let me just feed everybody. You know, I go there, I run through the line and I'm a good. But yeah, we pay for it. And in today, when we have inflation and you look at the prices of, you know, the price of eating out and the cost of eating out, it is astronomical. I do this with clients all the time, with patients all the time. And we talk about how much do you spend in a week eating out? How much do you spend in a month eating out? And by the time we calculate that out for a whole year, it pretty much comes down to the equivalent of, wow, that could have gone towards your kid's education, your college education. Or that could have been part, you know, gone towards a 401k. Or that could have been like two vacations that you could have gone on as a family. Not even you personally, but a whole family could have gone on vacation. It is out of control. Out of control.
That cost alone is enough to make you want to start eating right.
It is. It is. Because most people will say, you know, Kelly, oh my gosh, it is too expensive to eat healthy. Look at how inexpensive it is to go to McDonald's, Burger King's, Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, you name it. You know, name your favorite pizzeria. Or even a convenience store like Wawa for people who live in the area. That stuff adds up because to buy two bananas at like a convenience store, it may cost you a dollar a banana. That's $2. You could have gone to the grocery store and paid 59 cents a pound and gotten yourself, you know, so many bananas and they would have lasted you longer. You go to McDonald's. What's the average cost of a McDonald's meal in this day and age? If you spend like $10, $15, well, you take that same $10 to $15 and take it to the grocery store, you've probably bought yourself enough to make two or you know, at least three or four meals easily. So we have to really start weighing not only the health aspect of it, from the standpoint of the cost of health, we have to start weighing the just financial part of it with our home finances and where are we spending our money. Absolutely. So when we think about eating out, not only are we impacting our health in a negative way because restaurants really don't care about our health, they just want the cash and they want to make the food as tasty as possible so that they can earn as much money as possible and keep you coming back.
Yeah.
That's what the real deal is. But for us, we're paying through the nose for the food, and then we're paying through the nose because we're getting poor health out of it.
Absolutely.
Interesting stuff, isn't
it? A lose-lose for us.
It is a lose-lose.
A win-win for them.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I wanted to ask you some questions about your background. I wanted to ask you some questions about how you grew up, what you did, how you were different. I know you didn't grow up in the United States. So I want you to briefly kind of just share about how that has maybe influenced you to be who you are today.
Totally. So I was born in New Jersey. Oh, wah, wah. Exciting, right? Hey, Jersey's in the his house. We love
all
it.
Right.
So I was born in New Jersey. My parents are from, you know, from basically the Northeast, from New Jersey, and also from the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
But my dad got an opportunity to go overseas when I was not even 2 years old. I had another sister who had just been born. She was probably about 6 months, you know, on her way to 6 months to a year. And I had an older sister who was about five at the time. They had, other than my dad being in the military, he had never really been overseas, you know, the other part of his life. But the military gave him that travel bug. He took the opportunity. He was working in New York at the time. We ended up in the Caribbean, Trinidad being the first country. So from age two to about seven, if I'm doing my math correctly, if my mother was sitting here, she'd correct me. To about seven, we lived in Trinidad. And then from there, we went to Puerto Rico. And I was in Puerto Rico. I remember the grades really well, from third through sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And then from Puerto Rico, we went to Haiti and were there from middle school, from seventh grade, all the way through high school. But my parents were still there throughout the first 3 years at Penn State University.
Oh,
but
wow.
I went to college.
Okay.
So my background is, and then from Haiti, my parents moved to Costa Rica. And when I was in college, I got the chance to travel back and forth, but I was really living at Penn State at the time. So I got the chance to live overseas, travel to different countries, be influenced by international foods.
Yeah.
I am a foodie at heart. So most people are like, oh, she's a dietitian. She's going to have me just eating lettuce all day. No, not the issue. Because, honey, I like spice. I like spice in my food. I like flavor in my food. What I like to teach people is how to make food interesting without making it unhealthy. That's the challenge.
Wow.
And that's what I have fun doing, is teaching people how to do that.
Yeah, learning that should be a t-shirt. Say that one more time. You want
to
make
how to make food interesting without making it unhealthy.
Yeah, that's a t-shirt right there.
I got to make that. That's going to be my slogan.
Yeah.
I'll wear that on my chest.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But bringing the flavor, bringing the spice, bringing, you know, the interest, losing the poor health, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that's what's important. And I've always had an interest in science. I was a geek as a child. I loved sports. I played sports. I did track and field. I was terrible at it. I played volleyball. I was terrible at that. I played basketball. I was terrible at that. I played soccer. I was even worse at that. I was a cheerleader. Don't ask me to do a split, but I was a cheerleader. I did all of that, but I was really in, you know, heart of hearts, I was a science geek. And I love science, and I love medicine, and I loved reading about, you know, different things with regard to the environment and nature. So it kind of led me into the health field. And I always had this obsession with food. I liked eating it. I loved enjoying it. But I also liked learning about it, because I used to read cereal boxes when I was 12 years old. I was a weird child, very strange child. But I enjoyed that. It was enjoyment. And I would always ask questions like, I wonder where this comes from. I wonder how this influences the body. How does this affect me? You know, and how does it affect people? I was asking those questions as a child.
Wow.
So
you were
that
weird.
Drove me. I was very weird, very strange child. But my parents used to subscribe to National Geographic, and my sisters and I would just sit there and leaf through it and read it from cover to cover.
Wow.
And I remember Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. So I'm dating myself here.
Yeah, I do have
gray hair.
Yeah.
But Wild Kingdom and all the science channels and the shows and documentaries that came on and out, we were fascinated. It was just fascinating.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I've always been inquisitive as a child, very inquisitive.
Okay.
And it led me, because
to
of my food obsession, it led me to nutrition. I didn't come here and stay here. I went to study nutrition at Penn State, but ended up getting a degree in hotel restaurant management, getting my master's in business, and then ending up with my nutrition degree. So,
Awesome. So listen, I want to kind of land this plane a little bit.
So let's do it.
If you had an opportunity to meet with one of my clients or some of the people that are listening here, and let's say you just had about 15 or 20 minutes, you know, and you could kind of give them some really, really good advice, you know, what would you say?
Well, I'd start with the statement I said to you is eat mostly from the earth.
Okay.
And because that's a little bit of a difficult statement for some people who really have not been engaged in nature, you know, never really planted anything. For those people who have planted food and watched it grow and harvested it themselves, they would understand that intimately. For people who haven't had that experience, they may not really grasp what I mean by that. But eating from the earth, eating things that basically you could take the seed of, plant it in your backyard and grow that food. That's mostly what we should be eating. That doesn't mean that we have to grow all of our food, because people are going to be like, oh, this woman is absolutely nuts. And no, we're not doing that. It just means really identifying. I try to help people identify what is in the grocery store that fits that mold of eating from the earth.
Oh wow!
So we don't have to become June Cleaver for people who know who June Cleaver was, but for the younger folks, we don't have to be barefoot and pregnant, in the kitchen, growing our own food, harvesting it, bringing to the kitchen, chopping and dicing all day, and then putting together this fabulous meal. We don't have to do that. We can use our microwaves. You know, we can get food that is packaged, but we need to get food that is simple in its presentation. Simple in its ingredients, and then learn how, what I try to do is teach them how to put that together so that it does have flavor and spice and it's interesting, rather than getting the stuff that is already done, like basically the equivalent of the Chick-fil-A that's in the frozen food aisle that they're bringing home and nuking in the microwave.
Wow.
So it's a little bit different than that, but yes.
Listen, I can attest to everything you're saying. Just so you guys know, 2021 in October, I was 223 pounds. And this morning, I was 173 pounds.
Wow,
so
that's a huge difference.
As a result, I lost 50 pounds just because I met Kelly Burgess.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, it was the education piece that really made the difference, because I was going to the gym, but nothing really started happening until I started eating better, until I was educated about how to eat better, right? That's when it happened. I told Kelly a story about how I've never spent so much time in a grocery store in my entire life. Like, I've been there, I gotta read every single thing, every line, like, oh, I'm like putting that back. No, I can't hear that. And then I go grab something else. I'm looking, oh, I can't have that. I put that back. Oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, okay, I found it. This is what I'm getting, you know, or whatever it is. Like something as simple as peanut butter, right? Remember that conversation? Like, peanut butter. Like, you know, it's just simple. Like, you go get some Jiffy peanut butter. You know, it's peanut butter, right? She says, did you read the label, Troy? I'm like, well, see, it says this and this and this, this, this. She said, listen, I'm going to send you you sent me a picture or something, and you're like, this is the peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And she said, the ingredients say peanuts. That's it.
And that's it.
Peanuts. Not all that other stuff. It's just peanuts. Like, when the ingredient list is this long, put it back. Right? When the ingredients is this long, then you can eat that. You know, like, just it's education. It really is. Just giving people an opportunity to see something that they haven't seen before. I went down those aisles 100 times, and I didn't know that there were things in there that were from the earth that were good for me, because I wasn't educated. I didn't know. Like, this is why you guys need to call Kelly. This is why, if this is something that you're, you know, you know, thinking about or working towards, she's a resource and she can help you. She can change your life. She can save your life like she saved my life, right? So, Kelly, I want to put your information on our description. So when people are looking at the podcast, I'm going to let them know that you are in a company. Your company is called To Better Health LLC. Yep. Yep. And it's weight loss and wellness nutrition services, Kelly Burgess. So, you know, even if not in our great state of New Jersey, it's okay because, you know, we do everything online. So Kelly can meet with you from California, if you're from Florida, Minnesota, it doesn't matter. Like, this is a resource for you guys to tap into and, you know, and change your life. You know, let's stop being taken advantage of and really, you know, put ourselves in a position where we can benefit from good health and good wealth.
And I'll add one more point. The more of us that do this, the more of us will force the manufacturers to put more products on the market that are going to do good for us.
Awesome.
Yes, they'll be good. They'll do good by us. They'll do good for us. Because if we don't take action against them, you know, not that it has to be a war, but if we don't teach them that we want better products and help and products that are going to help us stay healthy and get healthy, they're not going to do it.
Wow.
So we have power. It's like, you know, and we might as well just use it. But once you get the education, you can be part of that group that says, hey, I'm going to buy X, not Y. Then Y will disappear and more of X will appear.
Wow.
It's a awesome. Cool thing.
Yeah.
It's a real cool thing.
Yeah. Empowerment, right? That's what we all want.
Empower it. Yes. Yeah. We're empowering ourselves. We're empowering our communities. We're doing something. It's the same thing with wealth. The more of us that know how to build wealth, the better off we will be as a community and individually.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So I think we'll end on that. I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, but I really, really appreciate you taking some time to be a guest on Wealth Strategies to Value podcast.
Appreciate being invited.
Awesome.
It was great.
All right. Well, I'm glad we connected. So I want to just, you know, send a shout out to my listeners, just to number one, say thank you, you know, for your subscriptions. Thank you for your input. And, you know, our motto here is to help people grow their wealth and have a safer, more enjoyable retirement. All right. Signing off until next episode. Remember, Wealth Strategies to Value. Share this podcast with people you know, you love, and you trust. And therefore, the more you share this, the more we can help people. The more these episodes will get out to people who really, really, really need to hear this information. Signing off until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.